good evening. Hey, it's so good to be in the house with you. And Merry Christmas. So excited to be here today. Tonight, we have a little special story time that we are going to do with the kids. So if you are a kid in the house and you would like to come over here and participate in this story, I see you, Mike. And I'm loving that you're up front, Mike. It brings me joy. If you're a kid in the house, just come and sit around this TV. We're going to cram in here as much as we can. Come on, as Pastor Jonathan would say, run. Run, isn't that right? This is your time to run in church. This is your time. So we are going to read a story. Does someone want to read that right there? What does that say? "Twas the night." Very good, Caroline. "Twas the night." Now, the first thing we're going to do, since this is all about, what is Christmas all about, kids?
Jesus.
Y'all are very smart. Jesus' birthday. Well, on the count of three, we're going to say Jesus as loud as we can. Can y'all do that?
Yes.
All right. One, two, three.
Jesus!
I don't know. I feel like y'all could have been a little louder. Can we go louder?
Yes.
All right. Pastor Jonathan thinks we could go louder. So let's go louder. Are we ready?
Uh-huh.
As loud as you can. One, two, three.
Jesus!
I knew y'all could do it. Yeah, that's amazing. All right, let's get into this story here. All right, this is "Twas the Night." Are y'all ready? "Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the land, not a creature suspected that God became man. So hear now the story that tells of God's grace. Long ago was the time, Bethlehem was the place. People were coming from miles around to register in this quaint little town. They had to pay taxes. It was Caesar's decree, but God had a plan to save you and me. The town was asleep. The streets were all bare. No one knew that two travelers soon would be there. The man was called Joseph. His wife's name was Mary, plus one yet unborn that God told her to carry. And when they arrived in the dark of the night, there was only one place that still had a light. While Mary sat padding her soft little mound, Joseph went to the inn, but no room could be found. "There's a place in the stable," the innkeeper said, "with plenty of straw for making a bed." Now, how would y'all like to lay in a bed of straw? Some of you would like it. You would if you had to. Yeah, that would be real itchy. I agree with that. It'd be... Yeah, I agree. It's itchy. We all agree. Yes, it would just be extremely itchy. We all agree with that. So Mary and Joseph settled down in the stall as their eyelids grew heavy and started to fall. All of a sudden, there arose such a clatter. Yeah. Joseph woke from his sleep and asked, "What's the matter?" Her time was upon her. It wouldn't be long for the birth of our Savior, so helpless yet strong. And then it was over as his cry split the night. Our darkness was driven away by his light. The heavens were opened to mark this event, and glorious angels from the Father were sent to shepherds attending their flocks in the night who didn't expect this incredible sight. An angel who lit up the sky with his glory delivered the news of the wonderful story. "Don't be afraid," the angel proclaimed. "A Savior is born," is how he explained the news that he carried from heaven to earth of God's special plan for his child's birth. The night then exploded with angels on high, giving glory to God as they flooded the sky. "Let's go into town," the old shepherd said, expressing a thought going round in his head. The things we just heard would be something to see. So he beckoned his friends and he said, "Follow me." In a stable they found, as the angel had said, an old wooden manger being used for a bed. The cattle were lowing while he slept on the hay. The shepherds crept closer to see where he lay, wrapped oh so tightly in swaddling clothes, so all you could see were his eyes and his nose. Mary, now resting, was happy to share all that took place under God's tender care. How this miracle happened, how the die had been cast, a virgin with child foretold in the past. She said, "Call him Jesus, He'll save us from sin. Then silence befell them as we all settled in. The shepherds were moved by all they had heard, so they went on their way, gladly spreading the word. As they were leaving, the night echoed again, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all men." What do y'all think about that? Yeah? Yeah? Is that a good story? Yeah, I think that's an incredible story too. I'm going to unplug this so that TV doesn't do something weird. So y'all just remember, are y'all excited for Christmas tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Me too, although I think I know what my gift is. You know what I think I got from my wife? Y'all know Pez, the candy?
Oh,
yeah. World's greatest candy, and I'm pretty sure it's in my stocking. But y'all remember, what is tomorrow all about? What is Christmas Day all about? Yes. Yes. You think you know what's in your stocking? Well, we'll just keep that between us. She thinks she knows what's in her stocking. Y'all remember, tomorrow is all about Jesus and how much he loves you and how much he'll change your life. He'll change your life. He'll save you if you put your trust in him. Y'all can run back, or we'll walk back, or should we say run? Run! I love it. I love it. I love the joy that kids bring. I don't know about y'all. It's amazing. And you know, one of the things that I think about when it comes to Christmas, I'm excited for Christmas morning tomorrow. Excited to see my own kids open their presents. It's going to be amazing. But I think about a very specific Christmas that I had. When I was 10, 11 years old, I honestly don't remember the age, but I was really wanting a Red Ryder BB. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't wanting that. I was wanting a robot. I was wanting this robot. Dad, I want the robot. You got to get me this robot. Dad, you got to get it for me. And I was so anticipating, hoping. I have the hour of this happened, the big day, Christmas Day, when I was hoping for that robot. And I got the video for you.
Mama, open it up.
Oh, wait. David has to open one.
Oh, this is true, Dad. Thank you.
So give it to me. Give it to me.
From Santa, David.
Look at Santa bring for David.
Open it.
David, open it up. No, this is mine.
What else? Give it for you.
Dad, thanks a lot. I know I need it. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
I really didn't think I was going to do it.
The robot! I can't open it. It's too hard. It's a robot!
That's amazing. Yeah, and if you didn't hear, my brother at the end of that was like, I have the tallest present for once. Apparently that was a competition that we were having for Christmas every day. Here's the thing, there's a backstory to this. 2 weeks prior, around that, me and my friend David Lewis were snooping around the house, and I had made my way up to my parents' bedroom. I looked under the bed, and I saw the robot. And so everything you just saw up there was fake. Faked the whole thing. And I was prepared for it. Really convincing. And thank you. But I faked all of that joy. And I got a feeling that there's some of you who came into the room and God calls us. We sang joy to the Lord. God calls us to be joyful. But some of you came in the room and you were a lot like me. You're just faking your joy. And you think that's what you have to do, that you have to fake your joy. And I came here to tell you today, that is actually not true. Because of Jesus, you most definitely do not have to fake your joy. Now, I want to make sure we understand, when we walk out of the room today, there's a difference between joy and happiness. So I don't want you to think that you got to walk out of the room and maybe you're really going through some difficult things right now and life's been hard, this year's been extremely difficult. You don't have to walk out of the room going, oh, this is lovely, and I'm so happy that my life has been terrible this year. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. In fact, I know somebody who a few months ago was diagnosed with cancer, stage 2 cancer. They had surgery earlier this year. And I know this December has looked a lot different than all of their other Decembers because they found themselves going into a cancer clinic, receiving radiation. And I can assure you, they're not walking into that cancer clinic thinking, oh, I am so happy that this has happened to me. But I do know this person, and I would imagine they're walking in and out of the cancer clinic frustrated with the circumstance, but they still have the joy of the Lord. And that's what's amazing about this Christian joy that God calls us to today, is it's not anchored in the circumstances around us. It's not anchored in anything that you do. It's not anchored in anything that I do. It's entirely anchored in Jesus and in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what allows us to have a lasting joy. That's what allows us to live with joy in the highs and in the lows of life. So the big idea this evening is this: you don't have to fake joy. You don't have to fake joy. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this evening. We just read some of it from the story. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4, we read this. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. Excuse me, I'm going to skip down to verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." First thing we see in this text, if you're looking for lasting joy, the joy of the Lord that we often talk about this time of year, first thing we see that the shepherds do is they run to Jesus. So if you're struggling with joy, no doubt about it, your best response right now would be to run to Jesus. Now, it's an interesting setup with the story here in Luke 2, because we read right away there's shepherds. And very often when we hear shepherds, read shepherds in the scripture, usually the first thing I tend to think about is the good shepherd. I think about Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. He's the shepherd of the church. And it's real positive. But in this culture, at this time, shepherds did not have that great of a reputation. In fact, shepherds were the people who were viewed as outcasts. They were despised. They were rejected. They were the people that nobody wanted to be around. In fact, if you were traveling through the fields back at this time and you were found yourself traveling by yourself and you passed by some shepherds, some of these shepherds, they may have taken some things from you. If you were caring, they would have snagged something. They were rejected people. People didn't want to be around shepherds. So we read shepherds, don't think real positive, think, these are the people that really had a bad reputation. In fact, shepherds, very interestingly, they, in the court of law, you couldn't stand as a witness if you were a shepherd. Nobody trusted what you had to say. So shepherds weren't the most positively viewed people at the time. So I want you to think about that. These outcast, these despised, these rejected, that is who the Lord God has chosen to deliver the most wonderful news on the planet. Like the greatest news in the world, God chose to deliver first this news to the despised, to the outcast, to the rejected. Didn't choose the well put together ones. He could have chose a group of rabbis who were praying, studying, I don't know. But he chose the rejected. And that is an encouragement for all of us, because maybe some of you came in the room today, you feel like a shepherd. You feel like you're an outcast, like you don't fit in, like you've blown your marriage up, like you're a terrible parent and nothing's going right. You've messed everything up and you came in feeling kind of like a shepherd. I got good news for you. Jesus came for you and he loves you. And he's declaring this good news to you tonight as well. And every single one of our stories without Jesus is despised, rejected, outcast, nothing. It's amazing news. So then what we see happen is this angel, Gabriel, he appears in the story. Presumably Gabriel, the text doesn't say that. And obviously, if you're a shepherd hanging out in a field at night and this glowing thing appears before you, an angel, that would be a very terrifying experience. So they react very naturally. They're freaking out. They're terrified. And the angel says, no, you don't need to be terrified. You don't need to be scared. I have good news of great joy. I have good news of great joy. And we happen to, this joy that he was about to tell them about is the very joy that we don't have to fake. He's like, man, I've got some of the most amazing news to tell you that because of what's happened, nobody's going to have to fake their joy anymore. And the good news of great joy was that the Messiah has been born, this long-awaited one that Israel had been waiting on for years has arrived on the scene. The Savior has been born. That was the good news of great joy. And he tells them there's going to be a sign, there's going to be this baby in this inn wrapped in cloth, and that's going to be the sign for you. If you're looking for him, this is what he's kind of going to look like. And then in this same moment, we essentially have pictured before us this army of angels that are just glorifying the Lord. Verse 14, they say, praising God, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. And then they left. And you can imagine the scene. The shepherds have to be like, oh my goodness, what in the world has just happened? And their response is what our response should be when you receive this kind of news. As we're talking about Jesus tonight, their response is they run to go find Jesus. So if you're struggling with your joy this evening, best thing we can tell you to do is you don't have to fake it, but run to Jesus. He came for you. We see in the text, starting in verse 16 here, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Secondly, tell others about Jesus. So we see in the text, run to Jesus. Secondly, tell others about Jesus. So what's happened is, try to picture this, very intimate setting here, Mary and Joseph and the baby. They're hanging out. This Jesus has just been born. And next thing you know, these shepherds, remember the despised, the outcast, the rejected, the people nobody wanted to be around, nobody trusted. They come barging in with Mary and Joseph and this little baby, Jesus, in there. And I try to put myself in their shoes of what it would be like. I've got two beautiful daughters, Piper and Ivy, of what it would be like. I'm in the room where the girls have been born. Very intimate, tears, you know, the whole nine yards. Some of you have been there. And I just think about, like, if the most despised, rejected, outcast smelling person came barging in to the hospital room, what would y'all be thinking? I'd be like, what in the world? Who let them in? What in the world's going on? So you can imagine what this moment had to have been like for Mary and Joseph. These shepherds come barging, they come barging in. But then it's an amazing moment, because what we read is these shepherds, these despised ones, they of course tell Mary and Joseph this about this angelic experience. And then what we know about these shepherds is when they left, man, they told everyone about the experience they had with Jesus. So think about that. God chose to deliver the most amazing news to some of the most rejected people on the planet at the time. And God chose these very same people to be the first witnesses to the people around them about Jesus being born. So again, if you came in here thinking, God can't use me, I've messed it up, I'm over, it's done, look at the story of Jesus that we're celebrating tonight. So run to Jesus, tell others about Jesus. Thirdly, worship Jesus, and we see that in verses 19 and 20. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Again, thirdly, worship Jesus. So this moment, very intimate, very special. Mary, you can imagine Mary treasuring everything that has taken place, recognizing the miracle that has just happened. Shepherds go away, and their response is to worship, which is really our response is worship. Our response is worship. Should be worship to this amazing news. This is why we're gathered here tonight, is to worship Jesus. So I came here to tell you again, you don't have to fake your joy. That's, praise God, we don't have to fake our joy. Joy is really, it's an inward settled state of mind that is produced by faith in God. And your joy, it really comes down to your understanding of God's love for you and where you are placing your hope right now. If you understand how much God loves you and you have placed your hope in God, that's where the joy is produced. Doesn't mean you walk out of here all smiles all the time, but it does mean deep down inside, there is an inward settled state of mind in you that is only produced by faith in God. Jesus loves you and he cares for you. And he wants a relationship with you. I want to take a moment just to pray over us before we enter into a time of communion. So please bow your head and close your eyes. And if you would just like prayer tonight, maybe about your salvation, maybe you're struggling this evening and you would just like some prayer, would you please slip your hand up so I can pray for you real quick? Thank you. I see you. Anybody else just saying, I just need some prayer tonight. God's working in my life. I need some prayer. Thank you. I see you. God, we come before you this evening, grateful for Jesus. We just want to pray, especially for the ones who lifted their hands up, asking for prayer. Lord, I am grateful you are a God that meets people right where they are, and I pray that you would meet these individuals right where they are tonight. We're grateful for Jesus and the life that he is continually extending to people. And we just pray peace over these individuals. God, we love you. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for the true joy that you give those who call on your name. It's in Jesus' name.